Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Catholics, what's on your minds? Call us up, 212-433-WNYC. As Pope Benedict comes to America, what do you really want him to address? I asked before the news, I'll ask it again. Abortion and divorce, war and capitalism, your shrinking white parish and your overcrowded Latino ones. What do you want Pope Benedict to speak about in the United States? We'll take calls from Catholics at 212-433-WNYC. Personal issues, issues of faith rather than issues of politics. Do you care at all? Is his visit just another celebrity traffic jam tying up the FDR drive with no relevance to your Catholic life? 212-433-WNYC. Oh, and how much would you pay a scalper if you can't get free tickets to the Pope at Yankee Stadium? 212-433-WNYC. Peter Steinfels writes the Beliefs column in the New York Times every Saturday. Last week, he laid out the big five issues he thinks Pope Benedict will need to address here and predicted cliched coverage in the media. And Deacon Jorge Gonzalez is director of Deacon Formation for the church in Brooklyn and Queens. He's also helping to coordinate the Pope's visit here. So, Deacon Jorge, welcome. And Peter Steinfels, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yep.
Good, thank you. Peter, is it cliched to predict cliched media coverage?
Well, it probably is cliched to predict it. And then I worry that having done that, I'll probably be talking to people on the media like right now, and I'll violate all the things that I warned against in my column.
Well, you predicted there will be voices in the media disconcerted to discover that, yes, the Pope is Catholic. But what do you mean by Catholic in that sense?
Well, there, you know, the media has a habit of structuring coverage around the points where Catholic official teaching intersect with the culture wars in the United States. Those culture wars have been around questions of abortion, sex, gender, more recently faith and reason and science and religion. And so there's a way in which every time a pope comes, everything he says is scrutinized through that framework. And the fact that he does not reverse a position or change course on one of those issues is taken as a kind of great discovery. And it seemed to me, I think the key word that I used in my column was the danger of breathlessness.
Right. But in today's Western world, in today's United States, if you publicly denounce other religions as false, deny women or even married men the priesthood and some of the other things you mentioned, is it so cliched to ask if the Vatican is a medieval institution in a postmodern world?
I think it is cliched to say that. I mean, even that phrase, a medieval institution, has a certain stereotype to it. The Catholic Church is one of the religious bodies that's growing around the world. I think that each one of the things that you ticked off there is certainly worthy of discussion, but I think it's worthy of discussion in a more nuanced way. I don't think, for example, that the Pope, this Pope, or the Vatican in recent years has done anything as simple as denounced other religions as false. The position is much more complicated, namely that many religions contain a great deal of truth in which there's common ground and much sympathy. The Catholic Church and the voice of the Pope claims to be the fullest expression of truth, which really is not surprising. Otherwise, why wouldn't the Pope become a Buddhist?
Father Gonzalez, Deacon Gonzalez, what's your role in the Pope's visit? Tell us what you're doing. What's this week like for you? What's this week like for New York Catholics who you're coming in touch with?
It's a very exciting week for everybody in New York, particularly here in Brooklyn, as we try to put together all the ticketing and, you know, bus transportations and try to respond to all the requests that have come from parishes, ecclesial movements, and other groups as they want to have the opportunity to be with the Pope as he celebrates Masses and deliver his speeches. So it's exciting. It's a great a momentum for the church as a whole, and we know that it's going to be a tremendous blessing for everybody, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, and certainly for the nation.
As you work with different churches and different communities in Brooklyn and Queens, do you see a different relationship to this visit? Do you even see a different relationship to Catholicism right now in largely immigrant and second-generation Latino communities in New York and the older white communities?
Yes, I certainly do. I believe that second-generation Catholics or second-generation immigrants are looking forward to hear the voice of Christ through the Pope and his teachings, as well as his own views of how are we to live our faith in this world and in our society.
So the kinds of questions that the media is focusing on with the Pope and the United States, gender and sexuality issues, the sex abuse scandal, the aging priesthood and priest shortage, are these the same things on immigrant Catholics' minds? I realize I'm generalizing by asking it that way, but maybe there's a roughly general answer, especially newer immigrant families.
I think that most of our new immigrant families, particularly the undocumented, would like to hear his teachings on migration, as well as legalization, you know, education, health, issues that are the daily concerns for immigrants as we come to this country.
Peter, do you know if Pope Benedict has a position, and I don't mean to cast it in such a political sense, but kind of a position, or is he outspoken at all on immigration issues and issues of undocumented immigration in particular?
I think he has been very outspoken in expressions of concern about for both immigrants and refugees around the world. And given the fact that the American hierarchy has been very outspoken on this, even to the point of Cardinal Mahoney of Los Angeles kind of threatening civil disobedience if what he considered draconian legislation was passed, that'll almost certainly come up in the course of the Pope's visit. I suspect it'll be part of his address to the United Nations.
So we have a full board of Catholics from our area calling in to talk about what they would like to hear the Pope address and what's on their minds with respect to the institution as well as the faith of Catholicism, starting with Carlos in Dover in New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Carlos, thanks for calling in.
Yes, thanks for having me, Leonard. I'd like to see if the Pope can address at a get up to a very local level. We have issues of overcrowding in our church, in our parish, and we have addressed it with the Archdiocese of Patterson, and it has been to no avail. Apparently, they say that they claim they have not enough funds to do this, and they at one point they wanted to help us expand our church, and then that faltered. But it's a situation where there's children sitting on steps. The basement is full. We as our parish have tried and accommodate our parishioners by holding more masses and all these other things that we've done to make adjustments, but it's pretty much filled to capacity. We have even gotten to the point where we have gone to close another church in the area, which is Sacred Heart, and for some reason, what we're trying to see if we can get that church, but for some reason we're not being allowed to do so. It is a larger church, and the non-Latinos from that church have been diminishing. As a matter of fact, the second and third generation Latinos, which they have, are fully bilingual, they really have no need to be in the smaller Latino church.
Interesting. Deacon Jorge, are you, and I realize this caller is from New Jersey, and your area technically is Brooklyn and Queens. Are you dealing with some of these same kinds of questions in the boroughs?
Yes, we you know, like in any diocesan or archdiocesan church, we're facing our own challenges in terms of of numbers and finances. But I also believe that, you know, at least in our end, with our bishop, everybody is trying to work towards continue to be welcoming and open up the doors for new immigrants, as well as to continue to foster faith and also participation.
Brian?
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say something to that gentleman. I know there's a lot of people who have problems like that, and I certainly sympathize with folks who are facing those kinds of restructurings and parishes closing and all that. I hope they won't be disappointed by this Pope's visit, because one of the things that it seems to me is that this is a Pope of what I would call faith, doctrine, and prayer, rather than a Pope that stresses institutional organization or structuring. He seems to have the view that if you get those things right, the things that have to do with your theology, your life of prayer and worship, everything else is likely to follow. And there are those who have the opposite view that says, you know, those important things will be affected if we don't get the structure or the organizational questions right. But he's certainly in the former category, and I would be surprised if he could address, obviously he's not going to address the questions on the micro level, but even the structural questions that we see across the country, like parish shifting in parishes, lack of priests. My guess is that he's not going to be, it's just not his thing to address
those. So, Deacon Jorge, do you think this will leave a lot of people like Carlos disappointed? Peter identifies this as one of the five dramas that the Pope will have to address when he comes to America, the confused and confusing state of American Catholicism. He put it in his column last week. But today's Times suggests that Catholics want to hear the Pope address their practical religious concerns, like church closings and the priest shortage. We heard it from Carlos right there. How to handle personal issues, death and dying, whatever, rather than his big think theology critiquing Freud and Nietzsche's view of secularism like this Pope is largely known for. Do you think he will disappoint people if he seems to be up in the clouds that way?
Well, I don't think so. I think he will, you know, as Peter says, he's coming to reaffirm the church in terms of faith, you know, doctrine, and we need to understand that those issues are being taken care of at the local level, you know, by the bishop, the ordinary bishop, and all the bishops and everybody else. So I hope that people will be more open to hear what the Pope is going to say in terms of faith, doctrine, and also a way of living a Christian life in today's world. So I some people might be disappointed, but I have the feeling in my heart that it's going to be a tremendous uplifting experience to have the Pope come into our area.
Robin in Boreham Hill, you're on WNYC with Peter Steinfels from the New York Times and Deacon Jorge Gonzalez, who coordinates deacons in Brooklyn and Queens. Hi.
Hi. So I would like the Pope to address some of these issues on the world stage, most notably the peace and those issues that fall under the peace and justice umbrella. Particularly, I'd like to hear him speak out on the war in Iraq, what's going on in Guantanamo, and also when we talk about leading a Christian life and setting an example, there is a moral and spiritual obligation that I view as being a steward of the environment. So I'd also like to see him take up the issue of global climate change.
Robin, do you, if you're willing to say, attend Mass on a fairly regular basis?
I do, yes.
And do you hear these things in your local parish addressed from the pulpit?
Yes. Actually, I'm here and there I participate in the Peace and Justice Committee in my church.
Uh-huh.
And we have currently a couple of campaigns going on to address torture and speaking out against it, as well as the environment.
Thank you for your call. And Peter Steinfels, some of these are things that this Pope is also identified with, though not as well covered as his more conservative theological positions, right? He has spoken about capitalism and militarism, for example.
And he's from the time before he was elected Pope, he has certainly shown a critical attitude toward the American invasion of Iraq. I don't think he's going to spell out specific policy proposals, because I just think he thinks that that's not his proper role.
Although, hasn't the church taken some specific policy positions with respect to the war, at first in opposing the launching of the war, and then coming to accept the legitimacy of the U.S. place in Iraq in the last few years under the current U.N. mandate?
I think the latter part is a little bit more detailed than I could see, that I see anyway, in Vatican or the American hierarchy's views. Uh-huh. I think that they have, from the beginning, they warned against this. They were very cautious. There was a Vatican official who met with President Bush and so on. I think once the invasion was there, they have not been frontally opposed, but I think their line has continued to be reliance on military force is not a very likely way to resolve this. Now, I think the Pope will, in fact, speak to the issues that Robin mentioned, certainly in a general way.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's got a better chance of being satisfied by the papal visit than Carlos, perhaps.
Uh-huh. Father Jorge, are these relevant issues? Are these issues coming up much in the churches that you visit in Brooklyn and Queens?
Yes, they are, and certainly we're looking for answers to those issues. But again, I tend to agree with Mr. Steinfeld, in terms of specifics. I don't think the Pope will be specifically touching those issues. But I think the Church has spoken about this in the past,
I think to some liberal Catholics as well as non-Catholics, that the Church emphasizes the issues of abortion and homosexuality more than capitalism or militarism, let's say. I've seen plenty of politicians, Peter, threatened with excommunication or denial of communion for their stands on gays and reproductive rights, but not for invading another country or condoning torture, and no Catholic bankers are being shut out for tricking poor people into subprime loans, as far as I know, unless I'm missing something.
Well, I don't know whether at some local level bankers are being called to account, but I think you're right. I think that the American bishops, for example, have taken strong positions on some of these general issues of war, equality in the country, economic problems, but there's a way in which these do not filter down to the pulpit in the same way as questions about abortion or same-sex relationships or some of the other things connected with, for example, stem cell research and so on. One could argue at some level that there are some distinctions between these issues, but I don't think it's entirely that. I think that there is a gap in the way that these things are practically conveyed to the American people and to the Catholic people themselves.
We'll continue in a minute with Deacon Jorge Gonzalez and beliefs columnist Peter Steinfels from the New York Times, and your calls at 212-433-WNYC. Catholics from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, anywhere, what do you want to hear from Pope Benedict when he's in our area this week? 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And here's a short clip from a video address that the Pope gave last week in anticipation of his visit to the United States.
The intention behind my visit, so, is to reach out spiritually to all Catholics in the United States. At the same time, I earnestly hope that my presence among you will be seen as a fraternal gesture towards every ecclesial community and a sign of friendship for members of other religious traditions and all men and women of goodwill.
Well, we'll keep taking phone calls and read some posts from our website from Catholics in our area anticipating the visit of Pope Benedict to our area this week. What would you like to hear him talk about? What's on your mind right now, as we also discuss that with Peter Steinfels, who writes the Beliefs column in the New York Times every Saturday. Last week he laid out 5 big issues he thinks Pope Benedict will need to address here, and he predicted cliched coverage in the media. And Deacon Jorge Gonzalez, director of Deacon Formation in Brooklyn and Queens, helping to coordinate the Pope's visit here. Deacon, how Latino do you expect the audience for the Pope to be at Yankee Stadium this week?
I think it's going to be a great turnout of Latinos at the Yankee Stadium.
Any guess as to percentage? I'm just guessing that a lot of white New Yorkers may be surprised if it's not dominated by Irish and Italian Catholics. What do you think will be? Do you have any rough percentage guess?
No, I don't at this point. But I think it's going to be pretty much even. In our end, we have tried to even out, you know, and to make this very participative on all ethnic groups that are represented in parishes.
Probably more Latino than at a typical Yankee game, though, right?
Most likely, yeah.
Peter, are there two different churches, in a way, in our area? Because the different populations have quite different needs or relationships with the church?
I'm not sure whether there are two different churches in our area. If one's a parishioner, a lot of the actual city parishes here are very aware of the Latino Catholics. I'm a minority in my own parish, I have to say. I do think there's a question here about the contrast in the ability of the church to, it seems to me, retain and hold the allegiance of the older immigrant groups as they got on into multiple generations and mainstream in American society in terms of income and education. I mean, there really is data showing a considerable leakage among that population, which so far is being compensated for by a number of converts and the new largely Latino immigration. So the church, contrary to what some people think, is actually keeping pace with the growth of American population in the United States. But I do think overall there is a kind of, it's not as dramatic as two churches, but there are two different challenges, and they do pose different problems, and I'm not so sure whether the earlier ones, the question of the older immigrant groups now moving into professional classes and so on are being so well addressed.
And moving away from the church, as we've seen in the recent Pew study and some other things. And we, you know, even Carlos from Dover, who called in earlier, saying with the overcrowding of the immigrant church that those who are second generation and can speak good English don't need to be in that church anymore. Did you notice that?
Well, that's very interesting because I think this is something that church leaders have to think about, that the assimilation, the pace of assimilation for the new immigration may very well be much quicker than it was for the older Italian, Polish, and other European-based immigrant waves.
Kay in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Hi, Kay.
Hi, Brian. I'd like to hear the Pope speak about the Church's stance on birth control, because I think it is the most misunderstood issue to a lot of people and to a lot of Catholics. I think the whole teaching on natural family planning and the theology of the body from Pope John Paul is so informative and so empowering to women. Women know about their bodies. They know what's happening. They don't have to go like a blank sheet and sit in front of a doctor and be told. And a lot of damaging things come from medicine to women. And the church's teaching on this is so enlightening.
So you're talking about to not use the pill and condoms.
Yes. And it's also so nurturing, the natural family planning to marriage. And you have thousands of young couples in the United States embracing this now and living it, and it's very exciting. And I would like to, I would like more people to know what this is all about.
Deacon Jorge, is this a matter of conversation in the churches in Brooklyn and Queens? Do the priests, do deacons, for that matter, talk about these issues with women in the church and actively encourage women not to use artificial birth control, or emphasize the, you know, the teachings on the body of Pope John Paul II that Kay referred to?
To a lot of we do engage in marriage preparations, and also we speak about, you know, family planning using the teachings of the church, the natural method, instead of going to any other artificial ways of avoiding family. And as I agree with the lady who spoke about a few minutes ago, more and more young men and women are really learning more about this, the theology of the body, as well as the natural family planning, which is, it's been, you know, part of the church teaching for many years. It's just that we need to promote it more clearly and make it the understanding of it available to everybody.
Mm-hmm. And Peter Steinfels, do you think the Pope will talk about that? I noticed that the Times article yesterday that suggested the Vatican, in almost a political public relations sense, will be trying consciously to soften the Pope's image to American Catholics, to make him less about issues of gender and sexuality and such, and more about his critiques of capitalism and militarism and such. Do you expect that kind of positioning, if positioning isn't too strong a word?
Well, I do expect that the Pope will speak in broad cultural terms. I expect him to address questions such as the relationship between faith and reason. This is something he's been exploring for a long time. I expect him to address questions like the Enlightenment culture, which he has seen in Europe as very much opposed to religion, and yet the United States has proved to be a different case, where the Enlightenment culture, stressing reason, has actually thrived together with religion here. On the specific questions, I would be surprised if he didn't speak to questions primarily of life, of the church's views about abortion, protection of unborn life, or euthanasia. But you know, it's interesting. This Pope has not given the emphasis to the whole issue of contraception, which has played such a major role in recent church history as a controversy. He has not given the emphasis to that that his predecessor, John Paul II, has.
Rose in River Edge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rose.
Good morning, Brian. I am an avid, faithful listener to your show. I think you're wonderful.
Don't use faithful in the context of this discussion, because I think it borders on sacrilegious, but go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I am one of those people who was born and raised Catholic, went to right in Queens, a Catholic elementary school for 8 years, and for the past 12 years, perhaps, I attend a congregational church. What I would like to see the Pope do is somehow validate the notion that the many, many Catholics who sort of practice half Catholicism are still part of the faithful. I mean, I call myself a Catholic who goes to a congregational church only because it's very hard to get rid of all that stuff. But the more I listen to your callers and the language, I think the language that is used, and I'm sorry if I offend anyone, is extremely hypocritical. I think the view of the woman who called about the power of the theology of the body has obviously doesn't know Catholics with 12 children who practiced that kind of no-fake birth control approach to family. And even using the terminology, one of your guests said, Catholics' views on accepting family. I mean, that is, it's a way to put down those. We don't not accept family. We seek to choose when we have children and seek to choose if it is inappropriate. I've twice became pregnant using natural methods. Actually, they were birth control failures, and had to choose for my family's sake, for my sanity's sake, for my economic stance at the time. I was in a PhD program that I had to finish. I would have been up to my, God knows what, in debt. And I chose to make that decision.
So
I think,
let me ask Deacon Jorge, and
can I just finish my point, because I think it's really important.
Go ahead, Russ.
It's very interesting that men sit there and talk about right to choice or right to life. Yeah, I believe in right to life. I believe in my daughter's right to a life that hasn't been dictated to her by some man in a robe who will never know.
So now let me get a response to you. And obviously, Rose, and I should say a lot of people on our comments page are reacting very strongly to the call by Kay a few minutes ago. And you can have that conversation continuing after we finish this on-air segment in a minute or two at WNYC.org. But Deacon Jorge, in the practical world, if you're willing to go there, is there teaching about natural birth control methods, but also a little bit of a wink toward women in the United States in the 21st century, maybe it being not such a bad thing to use condoms or the pill or something if they want to avoid getting into the position that Rose described that she was in with the failure of natural birth control? Do you understand the question?
Yes, I do. Let me just clarify. I didn't mean when I said avoiding, not accepting. No, it's the right to when to accept a family. I'm a father of five myself, so I've been blessed by five children and grandchild at this point. But I think that the church, the teachings of the church are clear in terms of how to plan your family and not to use any other ways that are not the natural way, which is a gift from God to all of us.
Most American Catholics just ignore that teaching, it seems. Is it important to try to reinforce it?
Absolutely, absolutely, because it goes to the core of our moral beliefs in terms of life and family.
Peter, how central is that to the what you call the confused and confusing state of American Catholicism today?
I think even though that dates back from the reaffirmation of the prohibition of artificial contraception in 1968, that it's remained a very central, neuralgic issue, if you will. I think in some ways it has, I think, distorted much discussion in the American church, which has been polarized along those lines, for and against contraception, when questions like who is Jesus, what does faith have to say to a world of scientific rationality, they seem to be much more central. And frankly, they seem to be more central in the vocabulary of Pope Benedict.
Before you go, Deacon Jorge, how are you helping the Catholics of Brooklyn and Queens get tickets to the Pope at Yankee Stadium? I understand you're trying to help with that.
Well, yes, I'm part of the support staff. You know, as we try to collate and send to the parishes tickets for the youth events as well as the Yankee Stadium, and every parish plays their requests, and the office of the Vicar General is the one who do all the major work. We're just trying to support as much as we can and may be able to get the tickets to the people before the event is taking place. So it's been a tremendous task, but as I say before, there's a lot of people volunteering and working hard to make this possible.
Do you feel bad about people selling tickets on Craigslist when they originally got the tickets for free?
Well, of course I do. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Brian, I think some of those people may be disappointed who buy tickets, because my understanding, and others, you can check this, is that tickets are going to be, for security reasons, they're going to have a barcode on them that connect them with some kind of advanced identification.
Really?
And,
yes.
But they can't check your ID at the door for 57,000 people, right?
Deacon can maybe speak to that more, but if I look at the schedule and the times that they're asking people to get there ahead of time, they may in fact be able to.
Deacon?
Yes, I think they will be able to actually go through every single person that will go into a particular event. As Mr. Steinfeld said, you know, they're VAT-coded and no one else besides the person with a photo ID, a legal photo ID, will be able to use that ticket. So if someone shows at the door with a ticket that is not his or hers, it will not be able to enter. Period.
Well, we'll conclude with this from our comments page. Somebody wrote, I would like the Yankees management to take the Pope over to the new stadium so that he can exorcise the Red Sox demons from the spot where they had to remove that David Ortiz jersey. Any chance of that?
I don't think so.
All right, maybe not. All right. Peter Steinfels writes the Beliefs column in the New York Times every Saturday. Deacon Jorge Gonzalez is director of Deacon Formation in Brooklyn and Queens. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. The newest cell phone knows where you are. Is this the ultimate convenience, or does it creep you out? Stay tuned.